And welcome back to the Neutral Zone. Our intro song today was Longview by Green Day, and we'll get to that in a little bit. It is Monday, September 30th, the last day of September.
Yes, it is.
We don't usually end the month with the Neutral Zone.
No, we don't, but I'm glad we did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good timing. Actually, really good timing for a lot of sports. Sorry about this, by the way. No Epic yesterday. My friends, thanks a lot, guys. Did not come up for the weekend. So we will do that. That will be on approval, as we would say in the newsroom.
It will happen on approval, sort of like someone's article about the NEC.
Okay, that'll happen eventually, this will. All right, so the question of the day, as we always start every podcast with, is which sports moment do you wish you were alive to see? John, what is yours?
Ooh. I'd have to go with 1980.
The
Winter Olympics.
Yep.
USSR versus the United States of America. 5 seconds left and the game is over. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes!
That is not what he sounded like at
all. Was it Al Michaels? Yeah.
Yeah, Al Michaels on the call.
Yeah. So mine has to be, it would have been the miracle.
No, you know what? This is probably going to change your answer, but make it so it's not your favorite team.
Not your favorite team. Okay. Yes. Dang, because I was going to say 86 World Series.
I know. I could tell you're going something either Mets or Devils.
All right. So mine?
Which sports moment? Give your non-favorite team and then your favorite.
All right. So my favorite teams for the Mets and the Devils. So for the Mets, I mean, I was alive for both for two of the three Devils Stanley Cup wins.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Granted, I was 3 and a month old for them. But for the Mets, obviously, it would be 1986 World Series. My dad's actually has a cool story about that. He said his TV, like, you would push it in to and then and take it out to shut it off. But as if you would hold it down, it would still stay on. So because it was like, you know, the amazing comeback in Game 6, right?
Yeah.
I wish I was alive to see that, too. He was about to shut it off when there was 2 outs in the 10th. And then so he pushed it in, and then something happened, and then he, like, quickly turn it on, turn it off, and then put it back on. So, and apparently, like, woke up his parents to when they won. So, yeah, there's that. But, the 1986 World Series would definitely have to be the one for me for the Mets. For the Devils, I don't know. Honestly, because, obviously the 95 Cup would probably be the one I would do because that's the only one I wasn't alive for. And there's really nothing big that happened in Devils history before that. But, yeah. It'll be that. For non-sports, my non-favorite team, that's an interesting one.
I mean, you can say miracle. I mean, that's the one that goes to everyone's head.
I keep saying and I don't want to.
Picks it up.
Yeah, picks it up. You know, that is correct.
I mean, is just a word that I think every podcast
it's
person
it's almost
says.
Impossible not to say it at some point. So I'm trying to replace
while
the
you're
other.
Thinking, do you want me to go through my two for my favorite teams?
Go right ahead. I'll just go with Miracle because I played on that rink before.
I've been to that rink. It's
terrible. Great. It's a terrible rink, but it's a nice ice. I played 3 games on that rink. It was so cool.
Lake Placid's a beautiful city.
Oh my God, yes. And Mirror Lake, just divine.
Yes,
dude.
It is. But
we skated on Mirror Lake. We played pond hockey on Mirror Lake or an offshoot of Mirror Lake. One of those.
Nice. So for Bills comeback game, 1993, Bills Oilers down.
The Oilers.
38-3, I believe, and Bills came back, won it in overtime thanks to a Steve Christie field goal.
Buffalo Bills, baby.
Yes, and believe it or not, I mean, it's still the largest comeback in any single game in NFL history. Wait.
What about 28-3?
Nope. I mean, it's... People are calling it the greatest comeback. It's not the greatest comeback.
Was that in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but no, Bills Oilers, no. But still.
It was divisional playoff, right?
Yes, divisional. But still, it's not the greatest. It's the most well-known comeback.
Yes.
Because it's most recent and all that. But it's not the greatest. Greatest implies, you know, the largest.
It is, though. It is the worst Super Bowl loss ever, though. I mean.
Yes.
Sorry, Marin, but.
Eesh. How?
I have the tweet bookmarked when they got their 28th point, Atlanta.
Yeah, I saw that.
Anthony Alford with the interception, but yeah.
But and then for Sabres.
oh, God.
Last game at the odd.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
You know what? Yeah.
I mean, because what would I do? No goal? Mayday's good, but. Or I'd go for, if we're seeing it live, the Steve Shields versus Garth Snow fight. God, or any Steve Shields fight, any Rob Ray fight.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember the last time I saw a fight. Oh, Brian Boyle and Sergachev in the playoffs for the Devils. That was great. They Brian Boyle was like, "You're next, buddy. You're next."
And then
he did Scott Stevens.
I know I'm not a big Yankees fan, but I think I'd go with the any Babe Ruth home run, really. Or the what year was the Jeter flip? Was that?
That was 2003. So I would have been.
I thought that was like late 90s for whatever reason.
It's around that time. You're in the ballpark there.
I don't remember it. So maybe that. But either that or any.
Honestly, I feel
no
like that,
perfect game.
Oh, David Cohn.
No, Don Larson.
Don Larson
in the World Series.
Yeah. What I was gonna say was I think that play is overrated though.
Because if
Jeremy Giambi slides, is he safe?
The
one where he dives in the stands are both like, because he had a lot of momentum and he didn't need to dive into the stands. David Wright actually made a catch that he dove in the stands. But anyways,
now on to baseball.
I think that's
the longest question of the day we've ever had.
We have. Well, that was a good question of the day. It's one I thought of this morning. I was like, why not? So yeah, the season is over for many teams, including my New York Mets. But the postseason picture is set. So let me pull up the wild card game right now. And wild card games are the Brewers at Washington and Tampa Bay at Oakland. Those are going to be some good games. I can't wait to watch those in a couple days. I remember last year I was watching the Yankees A's one. But yeah, that's in a couple days. And then the winner of the AL one will play the Astros, and the winner of the NL one will play the Dodgers. The Dodgers. And then the other series are Cardinals Braves and Yankees
Twins.
Oh my God, Yankees Twins.
It seems
Twins.
Like every year the Yankees and Twins play.
It is. I mean, they've swept them, I think, 5 times in the playoffs before, but they always play them. Either them or like, yeah, you always got to run to the Yankees. But other than that, the wild card starters, they haven't named. I don't think they've named. Oh yeah, they hinted at Sean Manaea for the A's and they hinted at Charlie Morton for the Rays. But then they're set for the NL. Max Scherzer will probably face. That's the most likely candidate for the Nationals. Scherzer's going to face off against Brandon Woodruff, a guy you probably haven't heard of. He's had a pretty solid year. If you look up his stats, he had, I think, a below 4 ERA and a front-end starter type stuff. So he's a good starter. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have the sort of gusto that Max Scherzer has on the mound. Like, he doesn't have the two different colored eyes and the intimidation factor. But, yeah, that's going to be interesting matchup. And, by the way, if the Nationals win this series, do not count it as a postseason series win. It's a play-in game.
It's not. It's like a tiebreaker, basically.
Exactly. It's a glorified play-in game. That's what the wild card game is. And I'm saying this, and even though the Mets have been in one and they lost it, it's still a glorified play-in game. I mean, you're still going to have to face the best team in the league in the next round. And you're going to get your clocks cleaned by the Dodgers if you win that game. So, good luck with that. But that's not a playoff series. All right. So multiple managerial firings within the last couple of days. Obviously, we went over San Diego and Kansas City. They weren't fired. Green was fired. Yost left. Yost retired of his own accord. And they're mutually parting ways with Joe Maddon in Chicago, a man that led them to the World Series a few years ago.
I think the word mutually there is a bit.
The writing was in the wall.
I mean, no, not that. I mean, it's a mutual, sure, but it might have been mutual by force. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to fire you.
So I guess they informed him that he is not coming back next year. That's a better way to put it.
Yes. It's sort of goodbye. I was going to say a Gerard Gallant, but that was the rudest firing in MLB in any league ever. Because they didn't even take him back to the airport. He had to take a taxi.
Yeah, what a guy. I mean.
And then he goes to the Stanley Cup, the 2 years following year?
Gerard Gallant might be the ugliest coach in the league. But
Hey. No. You know who exists?
Who?
Mike Sullivan.
Oh. Mike Sullivan. But yeah, speaking of Pittsburgh, Clint Hurdle was also informed that he won't be back next year. I mean, and he lost control of the locker room. That's the most you can say about that. You know, gone are the days of Bucktober, and back are the days of Pirates being garbage. Bruce Bochy's retiring.
Yep.
And today, breaking news, Brad Ausmus, one and done in Los Angeles. He said he was informed of not being come back next year. So maybe Joe Maddon takes the Angels role. That's what everyone's saying. Joe Maddon might be, and maybe the Mets fire Mickey Callaway. I'd like to see that. He's made some very, very questionable in-game decisions. Like, I don't know, putting Edwin Diaz out there every day when he obviously sucked this year.
Edwin Diaz. Sorry, I had to. I mean,
or putting in Tyler Bachelor in tie game situations.
The one thing I have to say is with Pittsburgh, they're not gonna go anywhere without Bob Nutting still at the helm.
The entire
Nutting family needs to be gone in order for.
Well, and Neil Huntington, they didn't get rid of him as GM.
Well, not yet, but still, it starts with the Nuttings. They don't pay.
That's like the same thing with the Mets. It starts with the Wilpons. The coupons, as they're called, the Wilponsies, if you want to call them that. And hey, I'd like to see a couple of the guys that are up for the Mets. I'd like to see Joe Maddon maybe manage the Mets.
Ooh. No, you know what you do?
What?
Bartolo.
Bartolo could barely speak English.
Bartolo is a player manager.
All right, so we got our World Series picks coming up right now. Our dark horses. So my World Series pick is Houston.
Mine too.
You don't want to run into that rotation in the playoffs.
Maybe the Yankees, but I doubt it.
Yankees don't have the pitching to last. I mean, their bullpen by far is the best, but they lost
Herman.
CeCe sucks. Tanaka's all right, and Paxton's been their best pitcher down the stretch, but he got hurt the other day.
Tanaka's hit or miss.
Tucker, yeah. And then who's their other guy? Happ.
Yeah, Jay Happ.
Is he hurt? Isn't he hurt? Hurt on the Yankees.
But yeah, that's kind of amazing what they've done. I mean, it just...
Yeah, see, if the same thing happened with the Mets, they'd be last place in the league. It's just the Yankee, sort of the Yankee way, I guess. If you have that over your chest, it's going to happen. So,
yep.
And then my dark horse pick for the World Series is Minnesota and St. Louis. You always go with the Cardinals when they're in the playoffs.
See, you know, if they were in it, I'd go with... What is this? Is it an odd numbered year? Yeah, so I would have gone with the Giants.
Giants suck, though. So,
but it's every...
Sort of the anti-juice ball there, though.
Yeah.
But
my picks are Houston's going to win. Houston's my pick, and then my dark horses are Tampa. I think Tampa can surprise.
And then you said Milwaukee here. They've had the best record in the league since they lost Yelich.
Somehow, without Yelich, they're going to do something.
Yeah.
And here comes Luke Yost yet again.
What are we talking about?
World Series picks.
Oh, yeah. I did the MLB thing. I'm going to make my, $250,000 off the Braves. Acuña Jr. is winning the MVP. I haven't watched baseball since April. I'm just going off a sheer just understanding of the game. I'm a big believer in, the look of a team. See their eyes. You know the team I like this year who'll win it all? It's going to hurt me to say this. The New Jersey Devils.
Okay.
No.
I thought you were still talking
about baseball. Before I leave, put your house on the Devils this year. Will Jack Hughes have a better year than Capo? No. Will he be good? Maybe. Sure, he'll be decent. Who else? They got PK now too. PK is gonna be good. Who else they get this year?
Hall's back.
Yeah, Hall's back. They have another year of growth for Nico Hischier.
I don't know about Hall though.
Nikita Gusev.
If Hall can stay healthy throughout the year, I'd be even more determined. Like, I'll put my family on the Devils, but for now it's just the house.
He's making a deal with the Devils.
Oh my god. I think they got it all this year. But hey, listen. At the end of the day, Galchenyuk's gonna have more points than Kessel will, and the Penguins will be a 3 seed. Devils win it all. Thank you and good night. Have a good one.
All right.
Alrighty then. There it is. Prediction of the day. You know, I agree with that one because I'm a Devils fan, obviously. But from a standpoint, if you look at it,
see, I don't agree with it. You know why?
Why?
It plagued him last year. Blackwood.
Hey, Schneider's been the best goalie. Schneider's been the best goalie in the preseason.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna add a category when we talk about hockey, but we'll just wait for that.
Hey, by the way, have you seen some of the people that are put on waivers today? Josh Hosang, some of those guys, first round picks are on the waivers. These are gonna be some hot commodities. I'm gonna tell you that.
Sprong's on waivers.
Sprong. Oh, that Pedersen.
I think someone big from Montreal was put on. Hudon, Charles,
somebody like that. We'll find it when we go to hockey. But
I didn't put those in there.
What I was saying was, I mean, from if I wasn't a Devils fan, I'd say this team has had the most exciting offseason of anybody. Yeah, the Rangers got Panarin
and Truba Kako.
And Kako, but I'm expecting at least 60 points this season from Jack Hughes. I'm not going to be mad if he gets less. I'm not going to be mad if he gets more, obviously. But what I'm thinking is when you anchor a power play that well with PK Subban, when you anchor it with who knows how – I mean, you saw the vision that Jack Hughes has showed on the ice in the mm-hmm. preseason. And, yeah, it's preseason. You could say that many times he wants. But he scored against Lundqvist. That's an NHL goalie. And
I mean, Gusev, he's lost a couple.
Gusev looks pretty good too. We didn't know a lot about him coming into the season.
Yeah, he was coming over from Russia.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with him. And then I just think they can probably put – I don't think necessarily they're going to win the Stanley Cup. They can make a playoff run, though. That would be very exciting for me and my family. But, all right, back to baseball. Pete Alonso, probably the last time we'll talk about him for maybe a month until the awards are out.
For like a week.
For like a week. He broke the rookie record.
Last time he'll talk about them on the podcast. He's going to mention Pete Alonso every single day for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's amazing, dude. But he broke the rookie record for home runs, hitting his 53rd off of Mike Foltynewicz against the Braves. And it's such a sad thing to not have the Gary Cohen call for that. I mean, we had the Don Orsillo one on Fox, but that doesn't even give you any justice to what Gary Cohen probably would have died.
But you're missing the most important Pete Alonso news.
What's that?
You might have a sitcom with Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, my God, yes. Jerry Seinfeld said he's deeply contemplating a Seinfeld reunion if he can get Pete Alonso for the boyfriend. If you remember, Keith Hernandez, Mets announcer, was famously the boyfriend in that episode. Roger McDowell spit on Kramer.
I'm not a big Seinfeld fan.
I never watched Seinfeld.
The only thing I watched him in really was the B-movie.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't like...
Jerry Seinfeld!
I also watched a couple of his comedians in cars getting coffee, but I'm not a big fan of his voice.
Yeah, I sat next to him at a Mets game.
Didn't he get mad at you or something?
No, he was in the box next to me, though. That was really cool. It was on opening day.
I thought you said a story about like somebody that was you were sitting next to that was just a complete jerk. Or is that something that might have just been something I saw online?
Might have been something you saw online. Actually, someone that I was a complete jerk to when I was like 9. I was waiting for a post game show. It was Chico Resch and Ken Danico, and Chico Resch had to go downstairs and go do the game.
Yeah.
And I chased after him. I was like, because Ken Danico walked up and he's going to give people autographs. I'm like, no, I don't want you. And then I ran downstairs and tried to get Chico, and he didn't sign my thing. So I just was like, all right, here's a random page. Sign it, Ken Danico. And then I met Ken Danico in person, like. 10 years later, and he's a really nice guy.
Did you ask him if he remembered it?
No, he definitely didn't. I mean, that dude
has more concussions than
he smokes like a ton of cigars.
I didn't know that. I mean,
he's a big cigar.
He seems like the kind of guy that would, but
yeah, he smelled like cigars when I got there. But yeah, I met him and Matty Loughlin a couple of years ago, so that was cool. Yeah, Alonso broke the rookie record. That's great, and we'll have that clip later.
The Cardinals clinched Central on the last day of the season.
I mean, the Brewers did get swept by the lowly Rockies in the last three games. They could have taken the Central in that series. But, yeah, last day of the season, the Cardinals did it by an absolutely dominant start from Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty, whatever you want to call him. But, yeah.
Jack Attack.
Cardinals will be facing the Braves in the bus. All right, and then we have the monthly awards for the players. Players of the Week and Players of the Month. So Ian Happ and Garrett Cole are the Players of the Week. And Players of the Month are Eugenio Suarez from the Reds and Austin Meadows from the Rays. And the Pirates fans are kicking themselves for having to trade this guy for Chris Archer. Pitchers of the Month, Garrett Cole and Jack Flaherty. Rookies of the Month, Eloy Jimenez from Chicago White Sox. And I said I wasn't going to mention him again.
And the Polar Bear.
Polar Bear. There he is. Pete Alonso, Rookie of the Month. And then... Relievers of the Month, Brandon Workman from the Red Sox and Brent Suter from Milwaukee. But, yeah, that is the Players of the Month. And then we have the stats leaders for the season. So Tim Anderson won the batting title in the AO, hitting .335 in, like, less games than literally everybody.
He's sort of just there. Like, Tim Anderson is the least he might be the least talked about winner of an award.
Well, the dude literally walked 13 times to his, like, 170 strikeouts this season. And he hit .335. So, yeah. And then home run leaders, obviously, Jorge Soler in the AL and the Polar Bear in the NL. And then Christian Yelich led the league in batting average despite being hurt for the last 3 weeks of the season.
I mean, sure. Why not?
And then strikeouts. You can obviously guess who it is in the AL. We've mentioned him four times already. It's Garrett Cole.
Yes.
And then the NL, the man, the myth, the legend, the best pitcher in the NL, back-to-back Cy Youngs, Jacob DeGrom. And then Trout and Yelich were the OPS leaders, despite also being hurt for the entire, like, last half of the season. Garrett Cole.
What's
and,
the minimum for that?
I think it's 500. Or, like, you have to have 3.5 plate appearances per team game, if you understand that.
Yeah, so.
And then ERAs, Garrett Cole, Hyunjin Ryu. Whip, walks plus hits per inning pitch. It's not Garrett Cole. It's Justin Verlander, another Astro.
I would have loved it if it was another player the Pirates traded away.
Yeah, Justin Verlander with a .803 whip. That is insane. And then Jack Flaherty, .968. So that is it for the MLB news. We have scores. Boston beat in the last day of the regular season. Boston beat Baltimore 5-4. We have a clip from that game in a little bit. Washington beat Cleveland 8-2. Cincinnati beat Pittsburgh 3-1. The Dodgers beat the trounced the Giants 9-0. Texas beat the Yankees 6-1. Miami beat the Phillies 4-3, and the Phillies did not have a winning season despite the MLB tweeting out before the season that were they the team to beat in the NL. They went 81-81 this year.
I just would like to point out that Rangers game, the last one ever.
At Globe Life Park?
Yes.
I did not get to go there. John did, though. John, what is that park like?
Beautiful. Very hot because it's Texas in the middle of summer. But it was beautiful. It's going to be a shame. One of the real cathedrals of baseball.
It looks like a cathedral.
Even though the teams there was not very good for the past.
Did you know that the Pirates made the playoffs in like the late 90s? I didn't know that. But they also ran into the Yankees and lost in the first round in those playoffs.
Yes.
I didn't know they were in the playoffs in like 99, 98. But
you just said Pirates.
The Rangers. That's what I meant to say. All right. And then another high-scoring game for Houston. 8-5 was the final against Los Angeles. They won. Toronto beat Tampa Bay 8-3. Arizona in a barn burner beat San Diego 1-0. And then Colorado beat Milwaukee 4-3 in 13 innings. And then the Mets walked off on the Atlanta Braves 7-6 and swept them. Terrible momentum for the Braves heading into the playoffs in 11 innings. Seattle beat Oakland 3-1. White Sox beat the Detroit Tigers 5-3. By the way, the White Sox and the Tigers will both play 161 games this year. The MLB was like, you don't need to make up your last game. Because it was like rained out. They're like,
They both suck.
Kansas City beat Minnesota 5-4. And the Cardinals shut out the Cubs 9-0.
As we mentioned with Jack Flaherty's great pitching, starting pitching performance.
Really vaulting them into the playoffs there. All right, we will get right into hockey and John's very crudely put together hockey segment that he did on his phone.
I did this on my phone because I had to shower. last games of preseason, Washington beat Carolina 4-3. Oops, I did that. Verana and Oshie both with 2 goals for the Capitals. And Carolina had 3, obviously. Aho with 2. And Nino Niederreiter, who I put as
Niederreiter.
Niederreiter with 1. Winnipeg beat Minnesota 5-4 in overtime.
A normal Minnesota from John Hanna.
Winnipeg with goals from Jack Roslovich. Is it Roslovich or
Roslovich, I think.
Okay, Brian Little, Josh Morrissey, Mason Appleton, and Matthew Perreault.
All around now. Let's spread it all around
and
now.
And Minnesota.
There it is.
With goals from Dumba, Koivu, Fiala, and Matt Zucchini. As my autocorrect did.
Zucchini!
And San Jose lost to Vegas. Sorry, Marin. 5-1.
I like how you put 1-5 so you could mention San Jose first.
Yeah. San Jose's lone goal from Daniel Yortaikin. He was from Russia.
All right.
Vegas with goals from Jonathan Marchessault. I think that's spelled completely wrong.
Yeah, it's close.
Jimmy Schold, who I've never heard of. Will Carrier, Mark Stone, and Reilly Smith.
By the way, Evander Kane is suspended to start the
NHL
season because it was the heat of the rivalry. And they will face each other for the first 2 games of the season, correct?
Yes, and also the St. Louis-Columbus game from last night
was
canceled.
All right.
I'm not sure why. I can mechanical issue with the
scoreboard.
Yes, probably.
All right, and then we have some games coming up on Wednesday, the first games of the regular season. It is so great to see.
All of them make sense except for one of them, but
yeah.
So Senators at Maple Leafs, big old Battle of Ontario there at 7 p.m.
Ontario.
Caps, Blues. I mean, last two cup. Is that the only reason, probably?
Who knows? It's a Wednesday night game. They're like, the Wednesday night rivalry.
In St. Louis at 8. Canucks, Oilers at 10 in Edmonton. And Sharks, Knights, 10:30 in Vegas.
I know what game Marin's going to be watching.
It's obviously the Caps blues.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't watch that game? Jeez, that is a game I would never watch,
no,
ever.
No, I mean.
Unless it meant something for the Devils' playoff position, I'm not watching that game. No way.
And then signings.
RFAs are falling down 1, 2, 3, 4,
except
5.
Except for one.
Except for one. Who's the only one remaining?
Oh, it's what's his face on Colorado? And, yeah.
Comfort? No.
No, it's but not Rantanen, the other dude.
Shoot, what's his name? Jost?
No, it's not Jost. It's oh my.
Defenseman forward.
Forward. What's his face?
Kerfoot?
No, he's traded. He was traded.
All right.
Hang on. Keep talking about the signing.
So yeah, Kyle Connor was 7 years and $7.143 million for Winnipeg. Mikko Rantanen 6 years, $9.25 million for Colorado. Patrick Lane. Line A, Winnipeg, 2 years, $6.75 million, which doesn't seem like Line A wants to play in Winnipeg that much longer.
No, he does. I don't think he does.
Matthew Tkachuk, 3.7 for Calgary, and Justin Falk, St. Louis, 7, $6.5 million. And Falk and a fifth round pick in 2020 were traded to St. Louis Blues in exchange for Joel Edmondson, Dominic Bach, and a 2021 seventh round pick. So fresh off of a Stanley Cup championship, Joel Edmondson gets dealt to Carolina.
Yeah. Okay. Keep talking. Talk about the thing I sent in the group chat, because I'm sure there's a remaining one, but I can't remember who it is.
Okay.
The thing I sent you about Green Day.
Green Day. Oh, yeah. So Green Day is bringing the Loud to NHL and NBC Sports and Wednesday Hockey for the next two seasons. So I guess they're – what are they doing? They're introing it? Something like that,
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. I was trying to think of the name, but yeah. Oh, by the way, can I read you a scout's take on Pete Alonso in spring training?
Yes.
He's had a good spring training, but I don't think Pete Alonso is that good. He's obviously a polarizing one. Defense isn't anything better. He's still stiff. He's going to have to hit his way. Everyone knows he is. He's hitting fastballs. But that's the thing. It's spring training. Once you actually try and get guys out, that's going to be interesting. Right now, he's taking advantage of the fastball. I can't recall him ever hitting a slider. I'm not confident that Pete Alonso has the skills to be a hitter. Huh. Goes out there and has one of the best rookie seasons in memory. So, whoever that scout is, you are sorely wrong. Oh, yeah, by the way, he posted this on a story. He said, Baseball Scout America's scout take on me during spring training. Here's a lesson. Self-belief and determination is more powerful than what experts think. And that is something you can take to heart. Pete Alonso is one of the most outspoken guys in New York. He's great for the city, great for the team, and I think he's the next David Wright. For the New York Mets. So I guess there's not an RFA that...
No, I don't remember who I was thinking of.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of Rantanen, honestly.
Oh, Stocco Mentalainen.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I remember him. All right, and we will head...
And Julius Honka.
Julius Honka. Honk! Honka.
To the clips.
So we will head right into our favorite segment of the day, clips. And I think you knew which one this one was going to be. So if you'll get my thing back up over here.
Done.
Pete Alonso's record-breaking home run. Don Orsillo on the call from Fox.
Something not as sharp. And sure
enough. High fly ball in the center field. This one is back at the wall. It is gone. A new rookie single-season home run king. As Pete Alonso moves past Aaron Judge and stands alone with 53 home runs in his rookie season.
Just love the absolute excitement from Alonso on that. He was allowed to watch that one.
You know what I was saying?
What?
I was going to say at the start. We should start retweeting those.
The clips?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Just because, you know what I mean? Like, people don't know what. If somebody just listens in, they won't know.
Yeah, exactly. I know. That's why I wish we had the YouTube this year, because that's what we were going to. That was the big thing for YouTube. We were going to have the clips and stuff. We'll do that next year. We'll figure something out next year. Or we'll actually record an episode soon. The absolute jubilation from Alonso after the home run. He was allowed to watch it. It's a shame we couldn't get the Gary Conan call, and it was on Fox, so they were interviewing Dallas Keuchel in the middle of the home run. It was funny to see him just, like, quiet down after he hit it. But, yeah, that was a bomb. All right, and then another Mets clip. Last one of the season. Sorry, guys. Dom Smith ends the season with a bang. Love to see this. I shut the game off when it was 6-4 in the 11th. But here we go. Dom Smith walk-off home run last night. It'll load.
And Dom cracks one deep right center. Back toward the wall. It's out of here. Dom Smith back from the injured list. His first at bat in 2 months. And he hits a walk-off home run in the season's final game.
Wow. Just the ultimate walk-off, if you will. Last game of the season. You know, Dom Smith had a stress fracture in his foot. He's been out since July 26th, and his last play appearance of the season, a walk-off three-run shot to top the Braves and really fizzle them out heading into the playoffs. Granted, Acuna was not playing in the series, but yeah. Great sweep. And this may be the best catch, the catch of the year.
Yes.
This is amazing.
It's up there.
Oh, my God. Look at this catch. This is amazing.
That ball is tagged right field, back warning track, at the wall, up and oh! He caught it! He caught it! Unbelievable catch! Stevie Wilkerson!
Gary Thorne is in pure jubilation.
I mean, how did he not break his back on the wall there? Like, he just, like, climbed up.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If he somehow managed to flip over.
Is that a home run? No, it is not. If he keeps the ball in his glove, it's not a home run. Granted, it did leave the park, but it's not a home run. Like, because remember when Austin Jackson did that a few years ago?
Yeah.
That wasn't a home run.
But so theoretically, if someone hits out of the park enough, someone running fast enough get out of the stadium and then catch
just play it. Play a guy in the stands to knock it back in.
No, I meant let's say the left fielder leaves the stadium in the parking lot and catches it. It would even be better in San Fran swims out into the dump to catch it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But what I was saying was I think when they run through the wall, the ball's still in play. Like if a player runs through the wall and makes a catch, like Turner Ward or Rodney McRae did in the minors, it's still in play. So yeah, there's that. And then we got bingo from John Hanna. John Hanna's very obscure clips that he likes to put on the podcast.
I do, because I like to make it a guessing game for Tyler, even though I've shown him both these.
Nicely for little Westwood's fade.
Lee Westwood doing Lee Westwood things.
Don't overcut it. There's a bunker there, and you can plug in it. He got it right.
I love the camera angle.
I love golf commentators.
Yeah, just magnificent. Magnificent, magnificent. Oh, he has got it right.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe it?
Magnificent. Absolutely magnificent play.
Lee Westwood, who's getting up there in age now.
He looks like a dad.
He's now playing over in Europe. Obviously, he's English, but with a hole-in-one last week in the European Tour. So not many of those you see nowadays, but good for him. And then the second one
is Barca.
Barca.
Barca. Barfa.
Barcelona.
El de Sabadell, Alex Collado. Intentará el centro Alex Collado.
What is he saying?
Con Nacho. Amaga ahí con el centro. Insiste Collado. Madre mía, ahí el túnel. Insiste Collado. Aguanta Collado, aguanta Collado. El juego dividido Collado.
My goodness.
We should have a goal counter for that. But
it's like 28.
That's Alex Collado, who plays for the FC Barcelona B team over in Spain, obviously. With a fantastic goal. I mean,
oh, that was beautiful.
And an even better call by, I don't even know what his name is, but
some guy.
Yeah, that's the reason we need to retweet that, because you can't get the glimpse of the goal from that.
Yeah.
Go, 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 go.
Well,
same
I think
with the
honestly,
Stevie Wilkerson catch. You don't really get the same.
Yeah, well, we might try to film an episode next week.
Maybe.
But we also can't put our music in at the beginning because we're going to get, the copyright is the biggest problem. But yeah. So that's all we got for clips. So we will go right to the card of the day. It's hockey this week. Last week, you know, we had baseball. Cody Ross this week. We've got one of our best players we've had on this.
Who's it? We've had him. If we had Yager?
No, we had.
What's his face?
It's from last year. We'll figure it out. But Matt Sundin is the card of the day. 2013-14 Upper Deck, clear-cut honored members.
Wait,
number.
I remember what I was going to ask for the hockey thing.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your disappointment this year? Who's going to be the...
Minnesota. They always seem like they have a great team. They just can't get it anywhere in the playoffs. But also, the Penguins.
St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Binnington. We've seen this happen before. Andrew Hammond. He had that great half a season?
Great 12 games.
No, it was longer than that, I thought.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. And then he's... You know where he is now?
AHL.
He's starting with the Rochester Americans.
Yeah.
And Binnington, he didn't deserve the Calder. I mean, sure.
Oh, we got the Calder?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Pettersson should have gotten that.
Pettersson, Dahlin, Heiskanen, any one of them.
Like, yeah, and I know you hate Heiskanen for all the stupid comparisons that he gets with Dahlin. Weren't even drafted in the series.
Who's your pick? Who do you think's better? Be honest with me.
Heiskanen and Dahlin. Honestly, I feel like they're very similar players, and it's hard to pick who's better, but Dahlin did get more points, so I'm going to go with Dahlin solely based on that. I haven't
and,
seen...
And broke a record by number four for the Boston Bruins.
Oh. But I haven't seen... Well, I'm just saying this now. I haven't seen him play enough to actually... I saw Heiskanen play in the playoffs, and he scored those two goals. They're pretty sick. Obviously, the Sabres didn't make the playoffs, so I didn't get to see him too much. But honestly, I feel like Dahlin's the best, the better player
in
that scenario.
And Dahlin leads the... Does he lead the Hartford Whalers in points right now?
Yeah. No, actually, I think Adam Lowry took over in that.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're confused, we have an NHL franchise for the Hartford Whalers.
Oh, yeah. I also have a Be A Pro where I'm on the Wild. And I got injured. I got a 90-day injury.
Wasn't it a broken wrist, or what was it?
So the first one was with the Sabres that I did. I got a concussion in my first game after I scored, and then I got out for 90 days. And I'm like, all right, I'm not – screw this. I'm going to go try again with a different team and have a team pick me. So I did the Wild, and then five games into my career, I got a separated shoulder.
Technically, you did two with the Wild, right? Because you did one where you were a lefty.
I was lefty and 6'1 and 210 pounds, and that's not
me. I see nothing wrong with it.
I'm 5'10 and – 190 pounds about that. I'm a righty. But yeah, and I came back and I lightened the world on fire. I scored four goals against those Philadelphia Flyers. But all right, back to the card.
Yes, yeah, sorry about that delay.
Number Hoff 54, Matt Sundin. It's serial numbered 1 of 100. Mine is number 70, and it's a very beautiful card. You see this in person, it's like one of those cards that like you almost don't want to touch.
Mm-hmm.
I got this at the draft in 2013, I believe, or 2014, one of those two.
Speaking of the draft. He was drafted first overall in 1989 by Quebec. First European player ever drafted first overall. Well, yeah, first ever. Not definitely not the first only.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, John basically copied and pasted this from his Wikipedia page. Sundin became the first Swedish player to 4,500 goals. He's the Maple Leafs franchise all-time leader in goals with 420. Nice. And points, 987.
He was elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2012, his first year. Second Swede following Börje Salming. Great. I love Börje.
Börje.
We need to have Goob pronounce that.
Oh, yeah. Börje Salming.
I was thinking instead of pronouncing, spelling bee.
Maybe we could introduce that with our trivia that we have.
Yeah.
I have a trivia question for you, by the way. I meant to do this earlier in the episode with the baseball. So you probably heard me say this before, but... So in the 2010, 2019,
yes.
Nine seasons, there's only one player that hit above 300 or above seven times. Do you know who it is?
Oh, God.
Here's a hint. He won the World Series in his rookie season in 2003.
Oh, I know who it is, too.
Another hint, he was involved in a pretty big trade.
I know, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it.
I know you're gonna hate me when I say this. It's Miguel Cabrera.
Yep. I had Cabrera in my mind. I was like, Melky? No, it wasn't.
Melky did hit it twice, though.
I knew it was a Cabrera. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, and Miguel Cabrera hit 307 times, and only one player did it six times. He's still active. He plays for the Reds. Do you know who it is? First baseman. Canadian.
Is it Votto?
Yeah, Joey Votto. You wouldn't think of him.
No.
Think of him as the guy that walks a lot.
Yeah, I was like, Votto's the first baseman on the Reds. I was like, it can't be. Like,
it is, yeah.
I was thinking, I was like, is it some longtime, you know.
Bench guy?
You know, it's like, is it like a bench guy that is now a bench guy because he's so old? You know what I mean?
But yeah, so he's a Hockey Hall of Famer, Sundin, in 2012. 1,349 points, so more than point per game player, 1,346 games played. All right. And I am going to go use the facility, so John, you can close out the podcast here.
All right. You want to hand me the laptop so I can pull up the closing song?
Yeah, here you go. Just close it when you're done.
Yep. All right, so Maple Leafs acquired Sundin. It was Nordiques sent Sundin, Garth Butcher, Todd Warner, and a first used to pick Nolan Baumgartner, to Toronto in exchange for Wendell Clark, Sylvain Lefebvre, Landon Wilson, and 1994 first round used to pick Jeff Kielty, first European captain in Leafs history, tied for 23rd in career goals, 564 shared with Joe Nieuwendyk, 35th in career assists with 785, and 28th in all-time career points. Only Swedish player to reach 500 goals, most career points and goals by a Swedish hockey player. Tied for the fastest OT goal, 6 seconds, shared with Alex Ovechkin, Simone Gagné, and David Legwand, of all people. He also one of three players, him, Marcel Dion, and Jaromir Jagr, to record at least 20 goals in each of his first 17 seasons. And he played in the All-Star game in, let's see, he played it in 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, where he was injured, and 2004. Overall, a great career for him. He also finished his career, oddly enough, with the Vancouver Canucks of all teams. I don't know why he decided Vancouver, but he did. But for Tyler Gallo, who is not here at the moment, and I'm John Hanna, obviously, Luke Yost as well, thank you and have a great rest of your day.
Summer has come and passed, the innocent can't